Yeah, we bless you, King. And we just continue to keep our attention on Jesus, the King of Kings. Man, there's just so much power in thinking of the good news of Jesus and how he came, lived among us, laid down his life so that we could live. 3 days later, the Spirit of God breathed in his body, resurrected him, seen by hundreds, and then ascended to be the Father where he is today, praying for us, interceding for us today until he returns. We praise you. We praise you for your wisdom. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, beautiful Trinity, thank you for being present. Thank you for making yourself available to us in every way, in every season, in every moment. And we just recognize you here, and we ask as we open up the scriptures, this word of God breathed and written down on pages that leads us to life, that you would lead us into truth, that you'd set us free today, that you'd unite our hearts around this man, this beautiful man, Jesus. We honor you today, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We honor you today. And everybody said, amen, amen. Or sit down. Tell the person on your left, good to see you. Tell the person on your right, welcome to church. Man, if you're a guest, I know we saw a lot of new faces here. Welcome to Christ Fellowship. We love the presence of God. That's why we want to linger with him. We want to keep our eyes on him. It's about him. It's not about a pastor. It's not about a building. It's about Jesus. Anybody else want that kind of church? Like, that's the community we want, a people of his presence. So we're learning how that is. And so if you're a guest, man, welcome. We've been praying for you. Number one, that you'd feel loved, great love when you come here. But number two, that you would experience and encounter the presence of God. And so it's an honor to have you here today. Man, I was thinking a lot this weekend. You know, before I was ever a pastor, I was a mechanical engineer. I spent some time in leadership and manufacturing, actually chemical manufacturing. Did that for a while. And then I had this season that shifted, and I actually was in a leadership position in healthcare, actually. And I was leading a community that was there to minister to people that had memory issues. It was memory care, so dementia, Alzheimer's, people that struggle. And in that season, it was a really intense, challenging season. But in that season, we ministered to different ages. Not everybody was super old, but there were a lot of elderly people in our community that I was leading. And so because of that, there was a lot of death. Now, as a young man, I hadn't been exposed to death very much. I hadn't been around it. And so it was quite new for me. And so I would get to not only be with the resident as they went through the death process, but then I would also get to come around the family as they navigated that. And then even for the people that I employed, the nurses, the CNAs, the people that gave medication, they had served some of these people for years and years and became family to many of our residents. And so I also had to come alongside of our staff as somebody would pass away and would navigate through this dying process. And as a young man, it was a really formative time. And Solomon is what the scriptures attribute to the wisest man to ever live. And he said there's a season for birth, and there's a season for what? Death, to die. He said this in Ecclesiastes 7. He says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind. I mean, I like feasts. Y'all like feasts? Like, I like feasts. It's good. Feasts are good. Celebrations are good. But he says there's actually something in going to a place of mourning, of loss, that teaches us something. And what it teaches us is that we all have the same end in mind. We're all going to the same place. We know that, right? Like, all of us are going to die at some point. And so I think sometimes we just need to sit in that reality. And when we're confronted with death, I think it can actually teach us a lot. Not just how to die, but how to live. When we're in the presence of somebody who's passing away, there's things that happen, and it's good. It's a good thing. And even this week, I got word from my mom. She called me up and said, hey, your grandpa is not doing well. It's looking like he has a few days to live. And so God bless my wife. She's amazing. She said, hey, I'll take the kids and do all the things that have to happen. Why don't you go drive up to Ohio on Wednesday? And so I drove up to Ohio on Wednesday, and I got to spend some time with my grandpa. And yeah, he was in hospice already. He was already at the hospice house, actually. But thankfully, my grandpa was, he was in and out. His body had slowed down, obviously. It was shutting down, but he was very coherent. And we were able to have a conversation. And so this man who was on the threshold of death, I asked him this question. I said, what do you love most about God? What do you love most about God? And he quickly said, amazing that it happened so quickly, he said, I love that he's faithful. Can you imagine on the threshold of death, and the thing you love most about God is that he's faithful, right? Now, you guys don't know my grandpa, but he was 89 years old. 89 years old, amazing man. He had been married to my grandma for 69 years. 69, like 70 in January. It would have been 70 in January. He was a preacher from his teen years, and so that means he preached the good news of Jesus for over 70 years. And you know, he's from the greatest generation. We got any greatest generations around here. He worked a job in manufacturing, very hot climate, in a ceramic piping company. And not only did he have that job, but then he cleaned the offices in the afternoon, because one job's not enough. I'm gonna clean the offices in the afternoon, right? And not only that, 55 years, he was a bivocational pastor at a small church that I grew up in. That's a lot. He's an amazing man. I remember every Sunday after he would preach, we'd go over to his house and we'd have chicken, or I'd have beef and noodles. Anybody know that? It's a northern thing, I think. Beef and noodles. And sun tea. And then I would see him fall asleep. And now I understand why he fell asleep, because preaching land, he needs a nap. And I just remember seeing my grandpa, man. He'd give it all. He'd preach Sunday morning, Sunday school, and then he'd preach another message right after that in the same crew. And at the end of his life, he says, this is what I love about God. He's faithful. He's faithful. Last night, I got word from my mom that my grandpa at 9:45 passed away. And the family was with him, and they were singing hymns and praying. And he was on no pain meds, no suffering at all. Just his life was finished. And so yesterday, when I knew it was imminent that he was going to pass away, I've just been thinking about death a lot. And so I changed plans for this morning, and God bless our team who, you know, changed the notes and everything. God bless them from working behind the scenes. And so today is really a pastoral message. You know, I love, you know, my bent is to be more apostolic. Let's go. Let's take the hill. Like, God is moving. Let's go. I love that. And if you're a guest, man, come back, and you're going to get that, because we love that. We believe that God is moving. He's always doing something new. But also, I think it's really important that we have some grounding messages, because here's the thing with pain, like I talked about last week, all of us are gonna experience pain. And so we need to know, how do we navigate pain? Here's another thing that we're all gonna deal with, everyone in this room. We're all gonna experience death of some kind, whether it's a loved one or whether the days of your life, they're going to come to an end. And so how do we rightly see death in a way that God sees it? How do we change the way we think? Like, we're in this series, change. How do we change the way we think, even about death, that aligns more and more with God? That's what I wanna know, and I need that. I don't know if you need it. I need to be reminded about God's perspective of death. And so today we're gonna open up the scriptures. We're gonna be in John chapter 11 to start with. If you wanna go ahead and grab your Bible, join me there. And I'm praying that the Lord and His mercy would help come alongside some of us today and would reframe death and give us some great hope and encouragement with how we navigate it. So John chapter 11, this is the story of Jesus. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus, and he also had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they were friends of Jesus. So Lazarus is sick, and then he ultimately dies. And so the sisters send word to Jesus, let him know that Lazarus has fallen asleep. In essence, he has died, and Jesus isn't in a hurry. I love that. Jesus is never in a hurry. He gets there finally. And so now he's coming to see his friends, Mary and Martha. So picking up in verse 17, it says, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He'd been dead for 4 days in the tomb. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe me? Do you believe me?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Now the story continues, and it's going to teach us about death. And so it says, when she had said these things, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here, and he is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Look at verse 33. I love this. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Now, usually when you hear this story, the continuation, the leader or the teacher is going to continue on and tell you the story about how Jesus, just a few moments later, went to the tomb and cried out, "Lazarus, come out," and Lazarus was raised up from the dead. And a beautiful story of resurrection, a beautiful picture. And we got to remind ourselves, though Lazarus was raised from the dead, how many of you know Lazarus died again? Anybody else know that? Like, so he was raised from the dead, amazing and glorious, yet he died again. And actually, it's interesting, most scholars believe that the reason the Jewish leaders were incited to kill Jesus was because they raised Lazarus from the dead. Oh. So Lazarus was dead, he was raised from the dead, and then he lived, we don't know how long, and then he died again. But I don't wanna move into the resurrection, that's beautiful. But what I want you to see is the process that's going on in here. And I want us to see a couple things. That one little verse there is so profound. Jesus wept. He saw his friends, he saw his Jewish people, they were weeping, they were crying, they were grieving. It says he was moved, he was troubled, he was moved to compassion, and it says that he wept. That verse is a great one to memorize. Jesus wept. I said this before, but man, in vacation Bible school, how many of you had to memorize verses, and how many of you, this was the first verse you memorized? Yeah? I want my pencil. What is your verse? Jesus wept. Yes, that's it. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, but I don't know if there's a more profound verse in the Bible than Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And what his tears teach us is that earthly relationships matter greatly in the kingdom of God. See, I think in the church world, in the faith world, we sometimes get so out here that we fail to get to realize that, man, God is spiritual. Yes, man, he's spiritual, and we are spiritual beings, but man, the relationship is rooted, or the kingdom is rooted in relationship. That our relationships on this earth, they matter greatly, and we see this in Jesus. He saw his friend and his friends, sisters, and he saw them going through a hard time, and it says he wept, and I love what the people around, they saw Jesus weeping for Lazarus, and it made them recognize that Jesus loved Lazarus much. See, some of us need to recognize that, man, death is painful. Death can be very painful, lots of hurt, lots of pain. Loss can be hard, but remind yourself that if I'm experiencing pain when I lose somebody, that just means that I love that person well. So the greater pain that I experience, the greater hardship, the greater grieving, mourning I have, it's actually a picture and the fruit of that I love that person well. This is Jesus. He loved Lazarus very much. So when he saw his death, when he saw his sisters crying, it says that he was also moved to weep with them, because our relationships matter to God. What we're doing here, it matters greatly. It's not just, I'm going to hold on to get to heaven. No, that's not biblical. What we're doing here matters. Our relationships here matter, and Jesus points us to that. And what I love about Jesus in this weeping, Jesus wept, it shows us that mourning and grief are godly responses to death. Jesus wept, he grieved, he mourned. And I think we just have to realize and recognize that it is actually part of the healing process to grieve and to mourn the loss of a loved one. You know, in the West, I think we do some things really well. I think one of the things we do is we celebrate people really well. Have you ever been to a celebration of life? Like, I love that. Like, I love it. We should celebrate life. Like, I love it. We should celebrate their life, not that they're not here, okay? Just to make sure we know that, right? We're celebrating life, and we do that really well. And I'm always encouraging families, man, let's celebrate their life, but also don't forget that you, as a human being who love that person well, you need to grieve and to mourn in order to walk in wholeness. Don't just move to the celebration without the, we need both. That's why whenever I facilitate and lead a funeral, or I'm around people that are navigating family members dying, I always tell them, listen, embrace all the emotions. There's gonna be moments where you are weeping and you can't even imagine not having that person in your life. And there's also gonna be moments where you're telling hilarious stories and you are belly laughing in the next moment. They're all part of God's divine and infinite wisdom to bring about wholeness and healing in our lives. And so we see that mourning and grief are godly responses to death, but what we see in Jesus is that he anchors our mourning in hope. Paul writes this in Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, he says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." And so he doesn't say, do not grieve. He says, don't grieve like the world does. Very different. He's not saying, do not grieve. He's saying, just don't grieve like the world. The world grieves a certain way because they have no hope. Look what verse 14 says. It says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who are fallen asleep." And so we as followers of Jesus, we as part of the kingdom of God, man, we should mourn the loss of the loved ones in our life. But listen, it's not without hope. It's not without hope. Jesus died and rose again, and therefore we have this amazing hope. We're not like the world. The world is like, man, I got a loss. That's it. That's the finality. But no, this loss that I have is not final. There's a hope in the midst of it. This is what Jesus is teaching us about death. And that's why he asked this question to Mary and Martha when he's walking with him and talking with him. He says this in John 11:25. He says, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Isn't that confusing? "Though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked this question, "Do you believe me? Do you believe what I'm saying, that though you die, you actually live?" Huh. See, in Christ, death is not final. And this is the hope that we have. In Christ, death is not final. Jesus says, man, you will experience death. All of us in this room, unless Jesus returns, which, come on, Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. If he returns, great, we're awesome. But if he doesn't return in our lifetime, we will experience death. And Jesus says, though you die, you do not die. How many of you know that's amazing? Like, though you die, my grandpa, his body was there, wasting away, slowly, gradually dying. There was a moment where his body shut down. He was dead. How many of you know my grandpa is not dead today? Like, though you die, you do not die. Do you believe me? This is what Jesus would ask us today. Do you believe me? When you're mourning, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe me? That death is not final. How can that be? How in the world can Jesus say these things? Well, I love what Paul writes in Romans, and I'm taking all these puzzle pieces and putting them together. Romans chapter 14, Paul writes, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord." It's all the Lord's. Isn't that beautiful? So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both over the dead and of the living. Ah, this verse, I'd never read it like this before. Studying last night, came across this passage, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. How many of you know that Jesus is the resurrection and is the way, the truth, and the what? Life. He is the resurrection and the what? Life. How many of you know Jesus is Lord over life? Anybody else? Can I get you guys in here? I know I'm talking about death, but don't be dead, all right? Come on now. He is Lord over life. He is the Lord over life. But here's the beautiful part about Jesus. He came. He lived among us. Amazing. He associated with us so much that he would live. He would walk in our shoes. He submitted himself fully to humanity. He got hungry. He got tired. He experienced suffering, hardship. And not only did he do that, so he's the Lord of the living, but then he willingly said, you know what? I'm gonna go where you're scared to go. The thing you're most scared about, humanity, I'm gonna go first. And so this God who's the Lord of the living submitted himself to death. And in doing so, guess what? He became Lord of death. You know what that means? That means there is no state of existence that Jesus is not Lord. We're alive today. We can sing songs, Jesus, you're Lord. Jesus, you're Lord. You're over it all. And guess what? We can also say, in death, Jesus, you're Lord. Jesus, you're Lord. There's no existence apart from the reality that Jesus is Lord. There's no state of existence apart from Jesus being above all things and in all things. And then I was tying together, man. I'm just putting these things together yesterday, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is ministering to my soul. Okay, and then I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in John chapter 17, the prayer that he prayed to the Father right before he was killed, right before he walked into the death of the cross. And he says this, and this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, this is so important that we see this, because we have this weird Western thinking that eternal life is somehow me floating on a cloud with a harp. That doesn't sound like eternal joy to me. That sounds like eternal torment to those who are gonna listen to me play the harp, right? Like, that's not biblical. It may be Disney, but it's not biblical, all right? He says, this is what eternal life is. What's he say? That we would know who? God. That word know means to experientially understand who God is. And when we experientially understand who God is, guess what? I have stepped into eternity. That's why when we come to recognize Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, we receive his forgiveness. Guess what? I've already stepped into eternal life. So how many of you are living in eternal life today? Anybody? How many of you know the grace of God today? How many of you experienced the mercy of God today? How many of you experienced the forgiveness of God? You just got elbowed by your spouse. How many of you ever experienced the love of God? That's what it means to know, to experience, to know him. And when we walk in that awareness, when we walk in that experiential understanding, guess what? We are walking in eternal life. So guess what? My grandfather, he walked eternal life for like 75 plus years. So when he's on his deathbed, when he is transitioning from this life to the next, guess what? He is going from eternal life to eternal life. You see, death is not the end. Death is a transition. And we have to change our mind about how we see it. Death is a transition from one level of living to a greater level of living. Listen, my grandfather, he knew God to a certain degree. All of us in this room, to a certain degree, we understand God. He experienced God. He understood God to a degree. And so when he walked this earth, there was a level of eternal life that he experienced. But when he left his body on this earth and he was brought into the presence of Jesus, how many of you know there was even a greater knowing of God? And if there was a greater knowing of God in that moment, guess what? There was a greater knowing of life as well. Because this is eternal life, that you would know God. So my grandpa went from here on earth, I know God to some degree, I'm missing a lot, but I know him some, I've experienced him some. Now, guess what? He goes in and says, what are we saying about one look? Ah, one look. One look. And I guarantee you, my grandfather today understands grace better than anybody in this room. I guarantee this is what happened when he entered into the gates, that he didn't come and say, hey, I was married to one woman for 69 years. Some of us were like, I need an extra seat in heaven for that one, right? Some of us would say that, right? Just being truthful. He's not like, man, I've preached like 1,000 messages, Jesus. Man, I was faithful to 55 years in one church and country church, and I was faithful. No, you know what he did? He stepped in the gate with nothing but thanks. Grace, grace, you're sufficient. Jesus, everything else melts away. Jesus, the beautiful one who sits on the throne. Jesus, this is what my grandfather experienced. From one level of knowing, one level of life, to now he is more alive than he's ever been alive. And that's not a Hallmark card. That's not, I wanna make you feel better as your pastor. I'm telling you, this is truth. This is why Jesus says, even when you die, you don't die. Like the thing you're scared about, he's like, I'm gonna take it away. I'm gonna take away the sting of death because I'm gonna go first and I'm gonna show you. Even in death, there's actually more life on the other side. It's a transition, it's not an end. And it's a transition to a level of life that we can't even fathom this side of it. And my grandfather, 89 years old, he never got a chance to come to Tennessee to watch me preach and to be part of this beautiful community. And I was thinking this week, or this last night, today is the first message my grandfather gets to hear me preach. Like, how beautiful is that? Like, how beautiful is that? Like, how beautiful is that? How good is God? That he gets to be part of the cloud of witnesses now. Man, his prayers on this earth were amazing. Man, my grandma, God bless her, she's still rocking and rolling. She still prays for me. But my grandma and grandpa, man, they prayed for me when I had no idea they were praying for me. And here's the thing, you know, right now, my grandfather, I believe, is still praying for me. He's interceding with a level of understanding that he couldn't have on this side of earth. Isn't that beautiful? Because death is not the victory. Come on, say amen to that. Death is a transition from one level of life to a greater level of life in Christ. And that's why we see Romans 8. I love the passage. There's so much meat in there. There's so much great theology and knowing of God. But in Romans 8, 38, it says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life," somebody say life, "neither death nor life can" what? "Can separate. Nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do we believe it? That's what Jesus would ask. Do you believe me? Nothing in this life, no hardship in your marriage, no losing your job, no embarrassing moment, no sin that you could commit can separate you from the love of God in Christ. And you know what else can't separate? Death. Death, death. The love that my grandfather's experiencing now is insane. He's in the presence of capital love, capital L love. What can separate us? What can separate us? Listen, today, we need to recognize that death can be hard, and we just need to call it out. Death can be really hard. Some of us in this room, we've lost loved ones, we've lost children, we've lost grandparents, friends, and listen, it is good and right to mourn and to grieve, but we don't do it without hope. We don't do it without hope. Because he says, even though you die, you live. See, the enemy, he loves to try to scare us. He loves to try to get us fearful. And so many people, unfortunately, even in the church, were so scared of death. But I watched my grandfather. He was not scared of death. He was already walking in eternal life, and he just transitioned. There was this trust. Okay, the Lord's been faithful. Guess what? He's gonna be faithful not only because he's the Lord of life, but what else? He's the Lord of death. And so my grandfather entrusted himself even in death. This is what Jesus did. "Hey guys, my disciples, guys, watch what's gonna happen. I'm gonna show you something. I'm gonna go into your greatest fear, which is dying. So here's what I'm gonna do. Watch what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna die on the cross for everybody to see. Your greatest fear, I'm gonna take it on and trade on." And this is what he did. At the very moment, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Isn't that beautiful? "I'm gonna trust you even until death." 3 days later, raised from the dead, showing the guys, I told you, I'll go first. I'm gonna die first, but it's not the final ending. It's a transition to greater life. How many of you believe Jesus is alive today? Right? How many of you know Jesus died? How many know it wasn't the end? This is the beautiful thing about God, his divine infinite wisdom, that death is not final. to transition. And the more we would see that, the more we would recognize it, the more we would be able to walk in freedom, the more we would be able to have hope in the midst of actually mourning and grieving. We'd be able to have both, mourning, grieving, hope. It's an amazing mixture. And so I wanna pray for us as we close out. Then we're gonna have our ministry team come up here in just a moment. So Lord, anything that, man, that your word has declared, I pray that you would seal it in. Lord, anything that I've said that needs to be received and held onto, would you just seal that in? Jesus, we recognize you as Lord of life. We love that, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I love that you are the Lord of life, but I also love that you're the Lord over death, that you have the keys of Hades, keys of death. There's no more sting in death. It does not have the final say. You do, because you're the Lord over it. So Lord, teach us to change our mind continually. Teach us to anchor ourselves in truth. For those that are walking through seasons of mourning right now and grief, Lord, I pray the Comforter, the Spirit himself would come and comfort, that you would bring revelation of truth, that you would bring hope in the midst of it. We thank you for being our model of what it looks like to walk this earth, to live and also how to die. Lord, we thank you that you are above it all. And we want to have your perspective, the heavenly perspective that we're seated with you with. We want to see that, even death. So Lord, I bless this church. May we walk in freedom. May we walk in greater levels of freedom. May we be peace, people of peace. May we be people of hope. And I bless, man, my family back in Ohio that are navigating these days. Lord, would you comfort them? Would your peace go beyond understanding as we mourn and celebrate the life of an amazing man? We honor you, Father. Thank you for all you are. May we continue to learn and to believe that we could say, yes, we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got our ministry team gonna come up here today. If there's something that maybe struck a chord with you, maybe you're processing some grief yourself and you would love somebody to pray, we would love to pray with you. But number two, I know that scripture that says this is eternal life, that you would know God. I recognize that, man, many of us know about God. We know scriptures, we know things, but today if there is a lack of peace in your life about knowing God, like really knowing, experiencing his forgiveness, his love, his grace, and if you're like, man, I don't have that, I want that, we would love to pray and allow Jesus to show up, allow him to show you his forgiveness, his love. And so if that's you today, we would love to pray with you. Man, we're so grateful for you. Let's have a great day today. Let's continue to say yes to Jesus and represent him as we go this week. We love you guys. Have a good one.